Should we
I
get
don't know.
started?
I'd say let's get started, and
Okay.
then it's like we'll just break. We'll just
Yeah.
break whenever he comes in.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. So with that, since I don't know where I'm going to cut you guys in this conversation, let's just go ahead and start the show, 'cause it is time for your daily cup of genre. That's right. The show where everything is made up and the points don't. Wait, no, wrong show. I love whose line. It's the Daily Cup of Genre. It's brought to you by the guys over at growgeneration.com. It's where the pros go to grow to grow. And we talk about everything here. I'm your host, well, one of the hosts, Kyle Malone, and joined by the other host of the Daily Cog, Manny. What's up, bud?
Nothing much, just hump day. Did you?
Christine wanted to do something to Mike Shockey, our site admin. We call him the navigator on the cantina, because he kind of like stowed away with Cam and I, and just kind of he's just there every week now. So she wanted to do something funny with him because of the camel hump day commercial. Mike,
That's a
what
great
day is it?
commercial.
It is. It's
Yeah.
amazing. How awesome was it when Geico was doing that thing a few years ago where they were bringing back like all the old characters, like the
Oh yeah.
cavemen, and oh God, you guys want to talk about like a class marketing? Geico in the 90s and 2000s, man. From the cavemen to the gecko, that shit's brilliant. That and shit, what's his name? J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man films.
That's a State Farm.
But the actor's name, crap, I can't believe I forgot him. But yeah, the State Farm ones are great, dude. Dude, we know a few things because we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
J.K. Simmons.
Thank you, J.K. Simmons. There it is. I love those. Anyways, we're not going to talk about commercials all day today. We are supposed to potentially have a guest to talk about a fundraising event,
Right.
very near and dear to his heart, and therefore very near and dear to our hearts, and should be near and dear to all geeks and pop culture fans and just decent hu human beings. So we're going to get some information out to you, but I'm not fully up to speed on it, so I don't want to start plugging it yet. If and when Jay shows up, we'll bring him in, we'll talk about it, get you guys the info, and then we'll carry on. I don't want to spend too much time on it today, Manny, because like I was say before the show started, I've been taking a lot of flack over my opinion on Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, and I haven't done what I normally do. I haven't trolled. I haven't shit on it. I in private, like I've on Slack, I've said, hey, I've got this concern and that concern, but I've tried really hard to not be that asshole. You know what I'm saying? And yet, just by simply saying, where was the funny? Like, we got funny from the Mini Puffs. I got it. I don't care for that particular humor they went with, but we did get it. That being said, this trailer, where's the funny? Like, I didn't. I don't. I think I chuckled once. I just don't remember really laughing a lot. I don't. And I'm getting hit for not loving it, man. I don't know. What do you feel out there? A lot of people are really positive about it. Not as many questioning as I thought there would be, because it is so serious and not Ghostbusters. Is it? I saw someone online say that all these reboots and things keep getting churned into things for us. I disagree, and that's why they all turn into the same thing. And I don't think they're all turning into what that person thinks. But what do you think's going on with Ghostbusters? What are you feeling out there, man?
I think it's just the familiarity of Stranger Things, it that you're kind of comfortable knowing that it's going to be something that you've seen before and you've enjoyed, and now you've kind of wrapped it up and turned it into Ghostbusters. So I enjoyed this series, and it looks like this series, but it's a movie, of course. So therefore, this must be good too.
Yeah, I
And
see that.
then, I mean, heck, my girlfriend had never seen Ghostbusters 1 or 2. Or, well, and still hasn't seen the 2016 one.
Not missing anything.
So, if this is going to be your first experience with Ghostbusters, then I can see why you're excited.
Yeah.
You don't know any better, and that might be that might be okay, because tonally it might be different, and it still may be very good, but what it may not be
It's Ghostbusters.
is what the original Ghostbusters was, which that's what the original films are there for.
Yeah.
And this is 20 something years later, so it probably does need to change.
30.
So yeah, there's not oh yeah, it's even farther back. I keep thinking it's like late 80s, and it's hard for me to believe that that first one was 84.
Yeah, I know, right?
So that's interesting.
Oh, and look, the other phrase that I get really angry about is re real fans. Like, every fan is technically a real fan. However, I will always point out that there are people that are more dedicated fans, those that are, dedicating hours of their life to additional c content, money to merchandise, body to tattoos. There are more dedicated fans, but that's annoying. I did something today. People just saw that I popped up a screen share. I showed Lucas the trailer, my son. Ignore our procrastination of laundry. It's clean. We just need to fold it. That's the worst part of laundry. This is what scares me. I'm showing him the trailer right here.
She's an awkward,
And look at
nerdy
him.
kid.
There's no emotion.
Maybe a new home could
He's
be an
not
opportunity to start
smiling.
fresh.
Just watch us.
Maybe she
He
saw
literally
your son,
spends
Ellie Brook, and our
the
grandfather,
entire
Ralph.
trailer just like that. Look, there's the car. Nothing. The kids? Nothing. When you get to the Ghostbusters talking? Nothing. This kid loves Ghostbusters. Watches the cartoon, the original cartoon. Watches both movies with me. Has a shirt. Plays pretend Ghostbusters. Look at this. I don't know how to take it, because my kid is a super excitable one. Whenever he sees things that he likes, he bounces off the wall about it. Dude just I don't know, man. I kept saying that from the mini puffs thing, it looked like it was going to be a it looked like it was really going to be the real Ghostbusters 2. But now I'm scared it might be on the completely opposite spectrum, where they are once again overcorrecting for the mishaps in 2016. Oh, you guys didn't like that much humor. Okay, no humor. Except for this one part. I don't know. I'm just saying my almost 8-year-old who does love Ghostbusters, who has a dad that loves Ghostbusters, didn't seem all that enthused. When I ask him, he does say he's excited for it, but he says it with the same face. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm sad.
I think the trailers might be just a little bit deceiving compared to
Maybe.
what we're actually going to get. So,
Maybe.
just based on the fact that it is a Ghostbusters property, and the fact that you have Paul Rudd there, and we've seen the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I'm just getting this feeling that that probably I think the tone of the trailer was done wrong, and the movie's going to be a whole lot more lighthearted than what we're being shown. I think right now they're focusing a lot on the mystique of the Ghostbusters franchise, and the fact that they're kind of supposedly bringing back that original, I guess, timeline, if you want to call it
Right.
that. So I think that's really what it is more than anything else. The trailer is a little bit deceiving. But I mean, it's interesting,
Right.
because I'm excited to see it, to hopefully enjoy it, and then say, yeah, the trailer was the one that was a little bit skewed compared to what the movie ended up being. But I
I
mean,
hope
so,
so.
some of the things that you texted me about, you pointed it out. I was not mad at all. And to see some old characters return, ghost and whatnot, I think it's gonna be fun. And I to this point it was just how dramatic the trailer was that that really had me raise an eyebrow, not necessarily the content of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things we said. We're like, where's the levity? Where's the music? The color palette is different. Everything about it just did not necessarily feel Ghostbusters. And again, it could be great. It could be awesome. I just don't necessarily think it will be. And I don't trust Sony. I don't trust you guys. No trust. Liars. So I do want to show one thing just to get your opinion on. It's a picture that I sent you to all of our audience members watching on video. These are the official toys. They're not leaked. Hasbro released these on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But if you're trying to not see what the kids or the old Ghostbusters look like in the suit, and a potential bad guy spoiler, although it's not really, turn away just for a few moments, listen while we talk, and then, yeah, look back, but whatever. Manny, the toys, like I said, they showed them. We got our kids. The other girl, McKenna Grace, is missing. And then you've got the three alive classic Ghostbusters, Winston, Peter, and Ray. And then a morphed Terror Dog. I don't know about the Terror Dog. There's already fan theories about, you know, Paul Rudd and the mom being the new key master and gatekeeper. Gatekeeper. Anyways, and then of course there's a lot of Gozer imagery and stuff, but what do you think about the toy? I like the toys. I love the articulation. I like the detail. I like how the teenage boy is a lot like me. I hated shit around my neck, and so his zipper's undone. I kind of dig that, but fucking no way those kids are actually using those packs.
So the toys actually give me a little bit more hope as far as a little bit more explanation of how they're doing what they're doing, because I see three classic, and I'll say classically trained Ghostbusters, who for whatever reason may be able to have decided to take the help of these kids to take down the ghost, and maybe being because they're one of them is a descendant of one of the other Ghostbusters or what. But I gotta tell you, man, I fucking hate toys. just because of the fact that it we saw it with Spider-Man a couple weeks ago,
the black and gold suit,
and we've seen it time and time again before, where things are just leaked because you have to have your toys produced by the time the movie or series comes out, and it oftentimes gives away certain plot points that you didn't want to know about, and it's irritating sometimes. I mean, heck, you and I we're privy to information a lot of times, so we end up finding out anyway. But I can't imagine for like general audiences who had to get stuck accidentally seeing this on the timeline or something when they wanted to enjoy the franchise or the movie. Yeah. And
at least this isn't as bad. We knew the old guys were in it.
Right.
We knew the kids would get the gear, the Terror Dog morph.
We saw part of it in the trailer.
Yeah.
But the thing is, seeing the old, so like the old crew.
Yeah.
And fully suited. That's something that maybe I wanted to be a little bit more surprised with.
That's true.
And so, and like now seeing it, it's like, God damn it, guys. But you know how it is. Everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to break things and whatever. So, and it's just the world we live in.
Yeah. At least this, like I said, at least Hasbro, because it was Hot Toys, and it wasn't even a final product. Hot Toys literally blasted out the image of the Spider-Man suit, and I bet Sony was okay with it. Marvel, Disney, I don't know. Maybe they were, but Hot Toys blasts out this highly detailed. With fucking box art. Box art gives away story, motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, holy like, the Ghostbuster thing does not necessarily give away a big chunk of story here. Not that we don't already know. But the fucking Spider-Man shit? Oh my God. I know the whole plot just from that. From the toy and the fucking box art. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But good job, Hasbro, on not ruining everything. I do agree with you that seeing the guys in the suits for the first time will be cool. Like, you know, and we'll wrap. I said I didn't want to spend a whole bunch of time on it. Fuck, can't say the word Sony without spending time on it. But I hope it's good. I hope I love it. I hope it does end up feeling like Ghostbusters, and that Sony is just once again being terrible with trailers. But I just, guys, I don't have that hope. Sony's burned me so many times on so many properties. I don't have any hope.
Yeah, they're making decisions based on the fact that they don't like you.
I know. They make all the decisions based on the fact that they don't like me. It's crazy. That's mean. I'm a good guy.
You know what's nice. Funny is recently I've also got shit on a little bit for not liking certain movies.
Like what?
When I was really opinionated about Black Widow. And when I was what else did I? Oh, I didn't like Space Jam wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I didn't like the pacing of it, and I didn't like. There's a few other things I didn't like, and then I've been accused of like, oh, you're being old. You're just being, you know, so critical and this and that, whatever. And then I was like, I just raved about Suicide Squad. Oh, you're a DC fan. That's why. It's like, what about Cruella? What about? I was like, I said Loki was great. I mostly like enjoyed my Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's a lot of things I like, so I don't like one thing. All of a sudden, I don't
worst,
like anything.
Worst on Earth. Yeah, man. It's like it's the Neo gatekeepers, dude. It's the Neo gatekeepers. I hate coining terms, but since everyone else wants to label everyone else something, the gatekeeping did and does continue to exist. That old fashioned. Oh, you're a fan of X, Y, and Z. Well, tell me who played X. Why was Z recast? And why did Y have the name that they did? Like that's garbage. But these Neo gatekeepers are almost worse because they're like, you will accept all of this. And you will like it, or you're not allowed to speak. We don't want you in our group. We don't want you in our fan. Even just saying something as simple as, I wish the trailer had more comedy. Where was the comedy for Ghostbusters? People are like, rah! You're terrible. It's great. It's the greatest ever. If you don't like it, get out. All Ghostbusters fans should love this. If you were a real Ghostbusters fan, you'd love that. Yeah, dude, you're right. We hear it for Star Wars, Marvel, DC.
Yeah, I got attacked for saying I wanted more He-Man and Masters of the Universe. I was like, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoyed the series, was fine. I wanted more He-Man. Like yeah. that's what I wanted. And no, I was wrong for that. So
yeah. I don't like that. I just it's kind of scary how angry people can get. And then they get angry at you for getting angry at them, at being angry at you for simply thinking differently. I confused the fuck out of myself. I hope I said that right.
I don't know what you said. I don't pay attention to you.
I know. It's probably best for your health not to pay attention to me. Let's see here. Marvel has said that we can expect Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye out this year. And then looking at what's coming up, there's been a tweet from the actress playing Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk, that said something about 4 weeks left of filming. We know Moon Knight is filming. And what's the other one Secret Invasion. We think that one's either in like pre or close to pre, might be in production. But that's all rumors. I don't know 100%. But I think that's the next three shows after. Order, I don't know, but I think those are the next three coming up after coming up in 2022 with Armor Wars in there somewhere, man. We're getting closer to Spider-Man, Far From Home, closer to the Eternals, two movies that are – well, the Eternals is supposed to change everything. And then Spider-Man, you and I think, will show that something big has happened, but won't necessarily fully explore it until Multiverse of Madness. But what do you think about the next shows coming up? Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel, and then 2022's alleged or early shows. Which one are you looking forward to most? You're muted, bud.
She-Hulk. Absolutely. No doubt about it. There's no show right now that I'm looking forward to from Marvel, or even movie, actually. Right now, it's She-Hulk for me. Yeah, I'm kind of excited for Shang-Chi because of the martial arts aspect. But, man, I really hope that they get at least Charlie Cox in the courtroom with her.
Mm-hmm.
That like, just give me that. Even if it's at the end of the season and, she's prosecuting someone and the defendant lawyer walks in and you just see his walking cane sticks, and then it just pans up and it's him. Oh, dude, I would lose it. That's all I want, man.
You gotta do it right. The courtroom doors open and you start on black shoes with the pant leg at the bottom. You don't even see the stick. It starts walking and then you see the walking stick comes in from the side, and that's when you start your pan up. Focus right in on those glasses, nice and tight. Pull out Charlie Cox, fucking Daredevil, goddamn Matt Murdock. I'm down with it. Oh, I was wrong. It wasn't the actress playing Jennifer Walters. It was Jamila Jamil, which was who was in Community, which is a fucking hilarious show, and she's playing Titania. Titania. Yeah.
The Good Place.
That's what I meant, not Community. The Good Place, because they have a lot of
I haven't seen Community, so I couldn't correct you.
No, it wasn't Community. I was thinking of The Good Place. I don't know why Community was there, but you're right. The Good Place, which is hilarious. Yeah, the show I was thinking of is hilarious.
Yeah, I discovered that show too late, and then by the time I discovered it, they were on their final season. And I was
yeah, we were kind of similar. I think we caught it like right after it ended, maybe as it was ending, and we were just like, "This is really, really hilarious." But yeah, she's
it didn't need to end though. Weeks.
Yeah, well, you can't really keep that going on for the premise itself. Kind of only screams two or three seasons, although they did stretch it out a bit. It was fun in the end, but yeah, it was cool. Brian's also super excited about that one. I didn't read a lot of She-Hulk, like solo books. Of course, adventures with others, team-ups, Avengers and whatnot. I am interested to see what they do with it. Will they go balls to the wall for police procedural, criminal procedural? Will they? I kind of hope so. Like a Marvel Law and Order in the court. It's kind of interesting, right?
I think so. Some of my favorite scenes from Daredevil, my only complaint about that series was I wanted more lawyer. Mm. Matt Murdock. I just wanted a little bit more of that. And Foggy left Foggy hanging so many times in the courtroom. I felt like he was leaving me hanging too. But that was really my only complaint. I wanted more courtroom fun, and of course we didn't get that, but I mean, it's a superhero show, so it is what it is. Very, that would be fun, what you just said, something like that. Everyone's gonna be like, ew, nobody wants to watch that. It's like, no, I think it'd be fun.
we'll have to see what happens in the end. I of course am most excited about Moon Knight. It's my favorite, and Jason's
it's so good.
Wanting to be there. I just hit the admit button. I don't see. There he goes. He's popping up. Jace! His audio is still connecting.
You should do our break first.
Yeah, we will. Welcome, everyone, from the comic source, Jace. But before he's allowed to talk, we're going to take a word from our sponsors real quick. Let me get that video loaded. Here we go.
Doggy.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thank you guys very much for sponsoring the show. Jace from the Comics Source, welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, bud. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. The weather treating you nice and warmly out there?
Oh, yeah. It's like, I don't know, 110?
Yeah. I saw my old hometown's yearly rain warning come by. Hey, it's going to rain for 20 minutes, and the power's going to go down for 3 hours, and yeah, we'll see you on the other side. Good old Yuma. Anyways, Jace, it's great to have you on here. You're here for a very, very special purpose. You ready to talk about it a bit? I think I can allow, if you've got some stuff to share on screen, I believe you should be able to share it if you want to. So go ahead, bud.
Yeah, so I'm doing a charity auction for a little boy named Titus. He's been battling leukemia for a while now. Every Friday he goes in for chemotherapy, and he gets an extra treatment every third Friday directly into his spine to keep the cancer from spreading there. Blood transfusions, it's a lot, especially for a little two-year-old guy. So this weekend at the Terrificon Comic Convention in Connecticut, which is held at the Mohegan Sun Casino, we're doing a charity auction. The auction is August 1st at 1 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to do it from the convention, but if you're not going to be there, you can join via YouTube. So if you go to twitter.com/thecomicsource, there is a pinned tweet right at the top where you can go and see all the details. You can get the link to the YouTube. In fact, I'll put it up on the screen now so you guys can all see it. I'm sure I can share here. Yeah, so you can join via YouTube. You can bid that way, and it allows people who aren't at the show to be able to join. You can see a little picture of Titus there. And we're going to have some really great items to be auctioned off. We have an original page of art from Nicola Scott, her run on Wonder Woman. So, you know, that's at least a $300 value. We have some original art from Jimmy Palmiotti. There's a Batman sketch from Jimmy Palmiotti. There's a Batman sketch from artist Adam Gorham. There's an amazing Green Lantern sketch from artist V. Ken Marion. There's a Wonder Woman sketch from Cena Grace. Wow. So, and I should mention also a Todd Knock blank cover with the Hulk on it. So some amazing pieces of original art. And then we've got a ton of signed books from people like Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, Jason Inman and Ashley Robinson. There's a couple of prize packs from them, a huge prize pack from JT Krull, another one from Robert Venditti. There's an Iron Man number one, which is signed by Christopher Cantwell from his Iron Man run that's going on right now. Nice. A couple of amazing prints from the legendary Bernie Wrightson, and then tons of rare Valiant items, a lot of them one of a kind. And then speaking of one of a kind items, an item that will be announced today, which will be exclusive for your show. I haven't announced it anywhere else yet.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Daily Cup of Genre listeners and watchers.
There is a Webtoon series. It's one of the most popular ones in the world. Millions of readers. It's called Let's Play. Mm-hmm. And it's from a creator who goes by the name of Manji. She donated 3 prints. Now, there were only 10 of these prints made overall. So very rare. And she donated 3 of them, 3 of the 10, to be auctioned off. In addition to that, we've already shown the 3 prints, and you can go look at that thread and check them out. But in addition to that, she donated the artist proof of Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Let's Play. Wow. Just recently, she ran a Kickstarter for putting these comics into print. Mm-hmm. For Volume 2, it's the first time. Volume 1 has been in print before. But these are new versions of hardbacks of this Let's Play strip. Mm-hmm. She donated the artist proofs for the covers of each of those volumes. So volume one and volume two. So if you're not familiar with the printing process, they create what's called a proof to make sure that everything's going to look correct before they actually start printing the books. So she has donated the print for the press print for volume one and volume two. You can see volume two there on the screen right now. So again, these are one of a kind items for an incredibly popular webtoon series. And not only is it a webtoon series, there's volume one there that you can see on the screen. Not only is it a webtoon series, it's been optioned to be an animated series. They're working with various people. I think it's over at Netflix. So there's every chance it's going to be made. Like I said, it's hugely popular. So I'm going to be announcing this. It's announced here, and I'll be putting these up on the Twitter thread today. Also for everybody to check out. And I'm also going to be putting it over on the Let's Play Discord channel. Hopefully it doesn't cause too much of an uproar, because again, these are the only ones. There's one that's matte that they test to see how it looks just with the matte finish. And then there's one with gloss. That's why you see.
We can't see ones. It, Jace. You still just have I can see is the pamphlet looking thing.
Okay, let me.
That's really cool. While you're bringing it up, the idea of the proofs alone is just insane to me. That's something a lot of art I know people hold near and dear. Especially something that's from the start of a project, a book like that.
Yeah, I mean, these are the only ones that are ever going to exist for these trade paperbacks. So,
that is awesome.
Or they're actually hardcovers, I should say. So yeah, it's a pretty amazing. I was really taken aback when she offered these up for the auction, and obviously we're grateful to everybody who donated. Again, the auction details: August 1st. If you're at the Terrificon Convention Center, 1 p.m. Room B. And if you're not at the show, you can join via YouTube and bid that way. So the way the auction is going to work is we don't touch any of the money. It all goes directly to the GoFundMe for Titus. So whatever your winning bid is for your particular item, you will go to GoFundMe and pledge that amount to the campaign. You show us the proof. You know, you're going to, when you donate to GoFundMe, you get an email receipt that says you've donated X amount of dollars. So you show us that receipt that you have indeed donated what your bid was, and then we will send you the item. So if you're not at the convention, then you know, you'll just reach out to me via email, jace@lrmonline.com, and we'll work out the shipping. In a lot of the instances, the artist or the creator may still have the item. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll put you in touch with them, and then they'll ship it directly to you, get it autographed, or you know, whatever else you want to do. Some of the items I do have in hand, and then obviously I would ship those to you, or if you're in the crowd, you know, I'll just hand it over. So there's going to be some giveaways as well. You know, I don't think I've ever done a panel at a convention without giving away an iPad, so certainly nice. Going to do that. Always got to give away an iPad at a Comic Source panel. I have a bunch of other giveaways as well. So hoping for a big turnout, hoping to raise a big chunk of money for Titus and his family. We all know how crazily expensive healthcare is in this country. So we just wanted to do whatever we could to help out the little guy.
Absolutely. And it's great to see you taking a strong lead on this here in your sphere and bringing it over to the broader LRM family. It's hard when you're a parent. Like I never understood why I could be 20, you know, 1 year old and my parents still like, are you okay? What's going on? You know, worried about me and my wife traveling. And then I have a kid of my own, and anytime I see anyone else's kid in any type of mild discomfort, let alone battling cancer, it's heartbreaking. But It also allows humans to show that we are capable of doing good and decent things, because you got all these people that they're like, you know what? Someone loves me because I draw something or write something, so let me autograph it and sell it so I can give these people money. They're using their power for good, and I like that. So thank you so much, Jace, for bringing it to everyone's attention and sharing it with us.
Yeah, fantastic. I agree with you 100%. It's so amazing that these creators have donated these items, in some cases very unique items like we showed. So yeah, I hope you have a good turnout, and thanks to you, Kyle, and you, Manny, for having me on and helping spread the word.
Yeah, Manny, you want to
absolutely
say anything on it?
Yeah, well, I mean, some of these items are like Jay's saying, they're one of a kind. They're super rare. I can't recall the last time I've actually seen Jimmy Palmiotti, for example, sketching or you know, offering original art. So that's huge. Some of these covers are something that you can hang and put in your wall that you're never going to want to get rid of, because you're not going to find them anymore. And yeah, for some collectors, these are things you're going to buy anyway. You might as well put your money to a good cause, and at the same time expand your collection. And this is a win-win regardless. Mm-hmm. And for it to have so many big names take part in helping Jace out with this project, it shows you how important it is. And so take some of that extra money that you've been saving up for the opening of conventions and put it to good use. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like you're leaving empty-handed. You're gonna feel good about what you did, and you're gonna have a piece of memorabilia to show for it. It's actually gonna have higher value, because anytime you look at it, anytime you pull it out, you know that what you paid for it, you know, didn't go to a shop or anything like that. Which there's nothing wrong with. We need to support shops, but this one in particular went to helping save somebody's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point, Manny. You know, if you're picking up a prize pack, you know, say the JT Kroll prize pack, that's 5 trades. That's $100 value at least, you know? And so if you win that for 75 or 80 bucks, you're getting a heck of a deal. Mm-hmm. And yes, and you're helping out a good cause. So
absolutely.
We have a bunch of things like that. So
that sounds great. I went ahead and posted it up on LRMs. We've tweeted out before. It's pinned there. And of course, like Jay said, it's pinned right to his Comic Source Twitter as well. And I will put the link in the description. Hopefully, if you guys don't see it, please message me and let me know, hey, where's that link? Because I do have brain damage. But yeah, it's good stuff. I like that. And like Manny said, even if you're just selfish, don't care, your money's still going to do a good thing. So go be selfish and at least let your money do a good thing. So yeah, I like it. I'm down with it. I want more of this, and anyone else that's got a good thing going like this, creators, creatives, podcasters, YouTubers, shoot us some information. We're all about helping people. LRM helped me out when I was in trouble last year. As did another writer from another site, I'm more than willing to return the favor. So, yeah. What are you reading right now, Jace? It's comic book day.
Oh, what am I not reading? Holy cow.
I know. Let me rephrase
This was an absolutely incredible new comic book day. There were 18 DC titles, so... if you check out the Comic Source podcast, you'll notice on our normal DC Tuesday spotlight, we actually split it up into two. We did 9 and 9. And then obviously our normal Wednesday new comic book day episode dropped earlier this morning. So just to remind everybody, the DC spotlights are filled with spoilers. We analyze them deeply. But the new comic book day, everything is spoiler free. So there were a ton of incredible books this week. I'll specifically call out Black Widow for today, from Marvel. It just won the Eisner this last weekend for best new series from writer Kelly Thompson. Absolutely amazing art from Elena Casagrande. I find it fortuitous that it won this Eisner for a new series at the same time the Black Widow movie's out there in the world. So hopefully it means some more people are picking it up and giving it a try. Also, Daredevil from Chip Zdarsky over at Marvel continues to be very, very good. On the independent scene, Seven Swords, which is from Aftershock, one of my favorite publishers, is it's an interesting mashup of like the Seven Samurai or you know, that kind of a genre with with the Three Musketeers.
That's cool.
So D'Artagnan's out there recruiting the best swordsman in the world to take on Cardinal Richelieu, you know, the legendary and traditional enemy of the Three Musketeers. But what's so interesting is the swordsmen are actually other people from history that weren't actual swordsmen, you know, like Cyrano de Bergerac or Don Juan. But for the purposes of this story, they are. That's by Evan Doherty.
That's cool.
Absolutely amazing art by Ricardo Latina. I mean, just blew me away. On the DC side of things, The Other History of the DC Universe by John Ridley, who a lot of people will know as the screenwriter from 12 Years a Slave. Mm-hmm. He finished up that series with issue number 5, spotlighting Anissa Pierce. If anybody's you know, has watched the Black Lightning show, you'll know that's Jefferson Pierce's daughter, Jefferson Pierce being Black Lightning. The first issue was focused on Jefferson Pierce, the first issue of Other History of the DC Universe. And now they're finishing up with issue 5 with his daughter. So those two Pierces sort of bookend the series. And in a way, I've been saying this a lot, in a way, it feels like the history of the Pierce family is really the other history of the DC Universe. That title refers to seeing the history of the DC Universe through the eyes of minority characters and heroes. And now it's a different experience than you get when you, you know, so often our experience of the DC Universe is through the eyes of Batman or Superman or Wonder Woman or some other
demigod
Caucasian hero. And it's a very different experience for a minority hero. And the Pierce family certainly has been through a lot, both in the show that's been reflected and in the comic books world over the years with Black Lightning and Anissa, you know, Thunder Lightning and Black Lightning himself. So that's a really, really excellent series. And then I'll mention one other DC book, Strange Adventures, number 11, from Tom King with art by Mitch Gerrits and Evan Doc Shaner. You know, Tom King, he's gotten to be a pretty big name in comic book circles, and he really subverts the genre and tells stories that examine the human condition through comics. This one stars Adam Strange, a very traditional Silver Age hero. And it really examines from the perspective of what is the truth, right? And that's something that Tom got really interested in during the last presidential administration, because based on your perspective, the truth can be subjective, which I also find fascinating, because when you're growing up, certainly the era we grew up in, the truth is the truth. 2 + 2 = 4. And that's just facts. But so many times, when you look at something, it's all about what you see from your perspective, from your life experience of what is true, and what is true for you isn't necessarily true for the next guy. And so this creative team has been examining that, and issue 11 is pretty big bombshells, only one issue to go. We'll see how that all turns out.
So I think I hear King's name more these days than I heard Morrison in the, late 2000s, like 2007, 8, and 9. Like, King has been all over the place for a while, man. I'm not against it in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, if anybody loved the Scarlet Witch show, mm-hmm. That was on Disney Plus a while back, that was based on Tom King's Vision miniseries that mm-hmm. he wrote. So yeah.
Absolutely, man. Manny, you do some stuff with the comic source every now and then. Since we're talking comics, man, what are you excited about? What's coming out, or new stories, new characters? I be honest, I dropped the last of my books on hard copy for the moment, just because I was only reading like 3 of them anyways, and I wasn't feeling the story, but I'm hoping to jump on to something new again in the future. That's the great thing about comics, is you can not like a part of it, drop that, and come back later. But what's up with you and comics, man, Manny?
Right now, comics and I are taking a break.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, I barely have enough time to watch things that I want to see, let alone the things that I quote unquote have to see. So it's made it very difficult. But I will say that the one book I am looking very much forward to is the continuation of the Batman 89 series. That's gonna be coming out soon. So
Jace, and then also, oh sorry, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to catching up and wrapping up Strange Adventures, because I heard 11 was phenomenal. So I got to go see what's going on over there.
I have to ask Jace, because I got him on. He did the really, really epic, long Zack Snyder's Justice League podcast with us. What do you think about the alleged Ben Affleck Batman being in The Flash and being, according to Andy Muschietti, a key to the character of The Flash in the film?
Well, I love it. You know, I wasn't a big fan of Zack Snyder's Justice League. As anybody who watched that knows, or anybody who listens to my podcast, you know, I'm not a fan of Zack Snyder in general. You know, mm-hmm. Leave out his DC work. I just other than the first zombie
Dawn
movie
of the
did,
Dead. I was going to say, Dead. You better love that.
Yeah. other than that, I've never seen, and granted, I haven't seen every single movie the guy's done, but what I have seen, other than Dawn of the Dead, I haven't liked. I haven't enjoyed it. I thought Sucker Punch, right, wasn't very good. Watchmen, visually, yeah, great. But story-wise, I think he's a great cinematographer. I don't think he's a great director. I don't think he's a great storyteller. But despite all that, I did really enjoy Ben Affleck's portrayal of an older, grizzled Batman. I thought he brought a lot of gravitas to the role. And I would go so far as to say, previously, probably Christian Bale was my probably favorite interpretation of Batman. But I think I'd go so far to say as Ben Affleck actually surpassed that for me, to my favorite live action actor playing Batman. So, you know, when I heard the rumors, I was pretty excited, actually. So I'm definitely on board. I think he, you know, I'm much more excited about that than seeing Robert Pattinson's version of Batman, which,
yeah,
oh my god, I've only, as time goes on, I'm only hearing worse and worse things. And it's a lot of the things I'm hearing people say now, people involved with the film are saying the same things that I said when he first got cast, you know. And I'm like, well, how did you not see this coming? But to get back to your question, I'm all for it. You know, we have heard some rumors that maybe he is going to come, Ben Affleck, that is going to come back and do a Batman film. You know, he was going to write it, he was going to direct it, he was going to do it all. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden he got scared, it feels like, with the reception of Justice League. But I would love to see that version, because I think he's got a lot to offer. As long as it doesn't have the Joker as the villain, man, enough with the Joker already. Jared Leto or otherwise, I don't need any more Joker.
I don't think anyone needs any more Jared Leto Joker. That's
Christine loves Jared Leto, good. Don't you, Christine?
Of it all.
She's giving me the evil eye.
But I do want to ask Jace, what do you think of that giant Starro?
Oh, yeah.
The giant Starro the giant Starro was absolutely amazing. I love.
Where's that set up at? I couldn't find anyone reporting on it except for that little clip Gunn shared. Where's it at? It's in London. I see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
I saw that. I was like, that's fantastic. I mean, selfishly, I would have loved to have been even bigger, right?
It's not a full strength yet.
Yeah, I mean, because Starro is, you know, huge. You know, should block out the sun. He's so big. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic. What a great way to promote the Suicide Squad movie. I love Jarro just as a concept as a character. And Jarro, if you're not familiar, there's a with the comic DC comic book universe, there's another little character called Jarro, who I'm even more of a fan of, because he's sort of a heroic version of Starro, but he's real small. And the reason he's called Jarro is Batman in the Justice League run that Jarro appeared, Batman carried him around in a little bell jar, so they called him Jarro. So yeah, Starro, he shoots out these spores that attach to people's faces and kind of mind control people. Mm-hmm. And Batman was able to capture one of his little spores before it kind of started growing and turned malevolent. And it's in Scott Snyder, sorry, Apologies, Scott. Then Scott Snyder. I do that all the time when I'm talking
at the comics source.
If people ask me a Zack Snyder question and then later I try to switch my brain, I always do that. But anyway, it's in Zack Snyder's Justice League run. It's a lot of fun. He's great. Him and Batman have this really fun relationship. He calls Batman dad.
Yeah.
Jaro dreams about being a Robin himself. And yeah, so I'm a big fan of Starro. When I saw that, I was just, you know, mouth open, like, oh my God, I never would have thought I would see the day that there'd be a big giant Starro out in the world. So absolutely fantastic. I haven't seen any of the Suicide Squad. I think I saw the very first trailer that they debuted at Fandome last year. But I haven't seen anything since then. Purposefully, I haven't been watching anything. So I just want to go in fresh and sit down and watch it and really enjoy it. I've heard people saying, oh, this is going to be the DC equivalent of Guardians of the Galaxy, because obviously James Gunn, so it's an easy comparison to make. I sort of hope not. I actually didn't care for Guardians of the Galaxy or Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I know I'm in the minority, but the humor there just felt so forced to me. And my wife, but from what I saw in that first trailer, it looks pretty funny. So I'm just hoping to see a nice, fun movie that doesn't try to take itself too seriously. And I think James Gunn's usually pretty good at that.
Yeah, Slither's a perfect example.
What makes Suicide Squad special, I think, was the fact that it's rated R. So he was able to do whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. And being that he had creative freedom, he made his movie, and he said during the press conference a couple weeks ago, they didn't need to do any reshoots. It was a complete one-way street of everything went on time, and they had no issues whatsoever. What he pitched is the movie he got to make. So, in that sense, I feel like it'll be better than than Guardians, because there's no there's no rating shackles where you can't tell a certain joke or whatever. The characters are free to be whatever they want. Plus, they're villains, so they all should be cussing and doing sketchy things anyway. So,
well, I based on hearing that, I hope that this is like the highest grossing Warner Brothers superhero movie of all time. Maybe Warner Brothers will finally learn the lesson. Hire the creator that you have faith in, and let them go make their movie without interfering, you know. Like, look at what happened. Like him or not, look at what happened with Zack Snyder, David Ayer, obviously, with the Suicide Squad, famously, you know, didn't even get to put out a cut of his own movie. It was you know, half his cut, half the cut made by a firm that makes trailers. Like, what that is, it doesn't even sound like it could be something that's real. And yet they didn't trust the trailer company to edit, and they didn't trust Ayer to edit. They did a mashup of both. Like, why do you, of course it wasn't paced well. Of course it was a disaster. What'd you expect?
Awful.
Yeah, the only drawback to this movie is that it will also be released on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And also it is rated R. So if the numbers aren't necessarily there where we want them to be, I don't, you know, whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. But I think overall, audiences will enjoy it. I think so.
I think it just needs to beat Black Widow's numbers. If it beats Black Widow's numbers, Warner Brothers has to consider that a huge success.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And on that, and before we let you plug your stuff and wrap it all up, one thing Manny and I have said on this show about the Black Widow numbers, because when they first came out, people wanted to be like, it's good or it's bad. And then the following week, again, looking at week two, it's good or it's bad. And Manny and I were like, This and Fast 9 are really the pace cars. Like, this is what we're going to decide what is good or bad based on, because these are the starting point, like Fast 9 and Black Widow. And we noticed a trend, and we think that a lot of the diminishing returns on second weekends and stuff are all related to people being willing to wait, how fast movies come out on home video and digital, let alone the day and date streaming stuff. We went and looked at a bunch of big movies from the last couple decades and noticed that all of the big movies in those date groups had similar drops, and that first to second weekend drop hasn't been increasing from the 30-40% in the beginning of the 2000s to this 50%+ for almost every movie out there. And now all the recent big ones, if the Suicide Squad makes $100 million, great. But I almost bet money it will also have a 60%+ drop. And I think that's the new normal.
Yeah,
not the streaming thing, the drop thing.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you. I just think it's just the kind of the nature of, you know, the people that care about these movies are going to see it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's still, you're still going to have that trickle effect where, mm-hmm. you know, 3 weeks from now, you're going to have somebody that's flipping through their Disney Plus and be like, oh wait, Black Widow, still haven't seen that, you know. And there might and the other aspect that you sort of touched on there, Kyle, is the fact that there is so much content out there right now. If you're not going to see it in the theater and you want to watch it at home, it's on your list, but you just haven't gotten to it. Maybe some people mm-hmm. are just gonna, I'm just gonna wait until there isn't the extra charge mm-hmm. because I have all these other yeah. things on the same delivery device, on the same TV or laptop yep. or whatever you watch your content on. I have all this other stuff. I can go and click on this and watch it for free. I can go click on this and spend $30 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have a list of things, you might want to watch the stuff that's free first before you get to the Black Widow stuff. So I agree. We sort of have to throw the old metrics out. It's just, it's not the same. This hybrid model, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that is going to hurt the bottom line of a lot of movie theaters, but they've had so much power. I read an article the other day about how this could really affect the dynamic of the power that the big giant chains of movie theaters have had, and the power is sort of shifting back to the studios now with where they choose to distribute, and the giant movie theater chains aren't going to wield as much power. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'm not an expert on the film industry, but it's going to be interesting to see long-term what happens.
I foresee us seeing Amazon and Disney trying to purchase AMC and Regal, not respectively, but those two biggest chains here in the U.S. The rules changed where studios can now get in the theater business.
Yeah, they can now.
We're not far away from that. It could be bad. It could be good. Regardless, it's going to be different. Difference where we're at today, and we're gonna wrap up the show differently with Jay starting off by plugging all the great comic source stuff that he does.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, twitter.com/thecomicsource is where you can find us on social media. You can go to Instagram, do a search for The Comic Source. Every time we put out content, it's posted on those two places. Obviously, you can go to lrmonline.com/news/thecomicsource, and all the episodes are posted there as well. So we put out tons of episodes covering things like X Tuesday, Superman Sunday. I talked about the DC Spotlight we do every week, New Comics Wednesday. Tons of interviews with creators, people like Kyle Higgins. Tom Pinchuk is on today talking about his latest creator-owned project. Tom King, Scott Snyder, you know, all these people we talked about. They're people I know. They're people that come on the show and talk comics. So. If you're interested in comics, I leave the movie and TV talk to these two guys. I don't really talk too much about those sorts of things, even when they are comic book properties. We really just focus on the comics. We want to get as many people reading comics as possible, because there's tons of great books out there. So
there are.
Go to the Twitter, go to the Instagram, give us a follow. The podcast is on all the platforms, you know, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, all those places. Or if you use a podcast app on your smart device, just do a search for The Comic Source and you can find us there.
Sounds great. Sounds good. And while you guys do that and you're on the interwebs, make sure you're checking out all of LRM's stuff as well. We got our great YouTube channel with all these amazing celebrity interviews, creator interviews, toy unboxings, podcasts, out the ass, anime, Marvel, Star Wars. We got it all. Breaking news, scoops, not a lot on scoops. We're not a scoop site. But when we get them, we'll hand them out if they're not going to ruin anything. And if we know they're true, the website, lrmonline.com, 1,000 articles a month. I don't know. I'm making up now, but a lot of writing goes on here across all the topics you guys can imagine. And all the great podcasts are all available wherever you get your podcasts from. Social media information down below at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at LRM underscore Emmanuel on Twitter. Manny, do you got anything you want to plug? Any interviews or guests or anything you got going on this week?
Yeah, if you were paying attention to the YouTube channel as well as the LRM site, Nancy got to take a few minutes with Matt Damon for Stillwater, which looks like a great film. Make sure to check that out. And then also, I spoke with Gwendolyn Yao, who is the voice actor for Nala Se in Bad Batch and Clone Wars. So I got to talk a little Star Wars, something I don't normally do, but that was nice and fun. Also, if you're a fan of that Fear Street from Netflix, Gig has a couple of interviews up for that as well. So everything and anything that you could be interested in, we probably have something for you.
There you go, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Please check out the charity auction for Titus. I'm praying for the kid and his family, and hope the auction brings in a huge chunk of change. And like I said, even if you're a selfish prick, go be a selfish prick for a good cause. Thank you guys so much for watching today. Jace, thank you for bringing the great cause to our attention and joining us talking comics for a bit. Everyone else, we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Thursday. It's live. 9:35 tomorrow, guys. Bye.